You're listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia.
This morning, we're going to wrap up our series that we've been in called Ghost Stories, and we've been in this series since the beginning of October. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to start today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to wrap this up. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost, I guess, in the sense of what we're calling this series. And just talking about He is making His presence known everywhere. And sometimes, and whatever your church background is, maybe you had a church background where the Holy Spirit was talked about a lot, right? And man, that's great. Maybe you've come from a background where the Holy Spirit wasn't talked about so much, or maybe you've come from a non-church background where you're like, I don't even know that there was a Holy Spirit, right? And you're not alone, because there are people in Scripture that we find in Acts that said, we haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit, right? And so there's instruction that we find in Scripture for who God is revealing Himself to be, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what this series has really been about. It's been about trying to find those aspects that maybe don't get talked about a whole lot. And that's a little bit of kind of the focus that we've taken. And I want us to wrap up today with that same kind of focus, just one more time, just talking about some of the things that maybe we don't normally talk about when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you've been watching the news and or reading articles or over the last week or so, and maybe you've seen that there's renovations going on at the White House, right? And whatever ideas you have about that, I'm not here to debate any of that today. Actually, I'm just here to talk a little bit about history, because when I look back at one of the last times that major renovations went on in the White House, we have to go all the way back to the administration of Harry Truman. And Harry Truman, when he moved into the White House, it was falling apart. There were actually certain places where things were leaning and like chandeliers would just kind of sway on their own because of the condition that the house was in. Harry Truman's daughter had a piano, and she had this piano that actually fell through the floor. That's our White House. Okay, all right. And so Harry Truman said, hey, we're not going to keep doing this. He said, this is something that we need to focus on. It is time for us to do some upgrades. It is time for us to do some renovations. And so in 1948, a team of engineers inspected the White House, and it discovered that it was structurally unsound. It was on the verge of collapse. The floor sagged, chandelier swayed, like I said, and a piano actually fell through the floor. And the decision that they made was that they had to gut the entire interior. So you can see some of these pictures here. I guess I didn't realize that all the work that had been done on the White House, how extensive it was back at this time. Because when you look at these pictures, from the outside, everything looked fine, right? If you looked at the facade and the exterior, everything looked great. Everything looked wonderful. But when you stepped inside the door or peeked inside a window, you could see, wow, there's nothing there, right? They have gutted everything, and they began to put up steel framing to reinforce, to really make some major changes to the structure. And so I began thinking, it's like, you know what, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does in us. That when you became a Christian, God did not just give you a fresh coat of paint. All right. Some of you are like, I don't know. I don't know what to say here, right? He did not just give you a fresh coat of paint and say, all right, lickety-split, let's get out of here. We're good to go. That's not what happened. Actually, what happened was this. The Holy Spirit moved in. The Holy Spirit moved in and began major renovations, totally renovating us from the inside out. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the work that the Holy Spirit does on us from the inside out. And it's great to pair this with baptism this morning, because I was looking at some of these testimonies, some of these video testimonies, and that's exactly what these testimonies are about. This is what God has done on the inside of me, and this is how it's coming out on the outside, and this is what baptism is saying. Baptism is an external sign of what is happening on the inside. inside. It is an external, visible way of saying, hey, this is what God has done on the inside of me. This is what Jesus has started on the inside of me. And this is the work that the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside of us. And so the Holy Spirit has moved in and he started a total renovation. And so we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And this is what it says. It says, your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. So you're not the architect. You're not the building, right? You're the building. You're not the architect. You're the building. And the Spirit moved in, not just to admire the decor, but he moved in to renovate the whole thing. Actually, he owns the place, right? If you want to know who owns it, you're not the owner. Right? If you were confused, I want to just relieve you of that confusion this morning. You were not the owner. You belong to God. And that's what we find in Scripture. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so let's go into this and let's see what we can find. Once again, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 19. It says, or do you not know, right? He actually, Paul starts that sentence that way. He says, do you not know that? Do you not know that this is the case, that you are not your own, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within whom you have from God? You are not your own. So what is your tangible temple, right? Let me ask you that. If you would say, well, that's kind of a weird thought that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that even mean, Pastor? Well, let me kind of break that down for you and talk about the idea of the tangible temple. What does that mean? What is your tangible temple? It may be your tangible temple, may be your Monday morning commute, okay? Anybody, you just had some commuting issues this past week? Anybody trying to get out of Savannah on Thursday and just wasn't happening? You just had to get a hotel somewhere and stay the night because it wasn't happening. You got to Richmond Hill and you're like, you found you couldn't even get anywhere in Richmond Hill, right? What does that look like? That is it. That is part of what that looks like. That place that's very ordinary, that place that actually can be stressful. You say, how has that place become holy? Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that temple of the Holy Spirit just doesn't activate when you walk in the doors of church on Sunday morning. It actually is taking place on Monday morning when you're trying to drive to work or when you're trying to drive home or wherever you're trying to go. That's what that looks like. Or maybe it's that 2 a.m. worry spiral that sometimes we get in. Anybody do that? You just wake up and your brain's just spinning, right? And you think, man, I don't feel very spiritual right now. Even in that moment, you may not realize it. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's even in that moment you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's in where you've had a difficult conversation. Maybe you've been in a tense text exchange, right? Where, hey, this is what this is going to look like. And somebody's saying, well, that's not what this is going to look like, right? And there's just disagreement. Even in that, you realize that you're still the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And this is not where we get to clock in and clock out. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us 24/7. He's doing a renovation in us. No matter who we interact with, no matter where we go, what that looks like, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in us. The Spirit doesn't just visit us. The Spirit indwells us. You need to understand that. The Holy Spirit just doesn't visit us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And too many of us, we live with this mindset that the Holy Spirit is kind of a renter, right? He just kind of comes in for a little bit and leaves, right? The Holy Spirit's here when I feel really spiritual, and, you know, when I don't feel spiritual, the Holy Spirit's not here. That's not how that works. The Holy Spirit is doing a work on us 24/7, even on the bad days, right? Even on those days you don't feel very spiritual, do you believe that the Holy Spirit's working on you? Do you want the Holy Spirit to work on you on those days? You, whether you want it to or not, the Holy Spirit needs to work on you on those days, if you didn't know that, right? It's in those days that the Holy Spirit works on us, and the New Testament tells us this, insists that he has moved in, that you're never alone in a meeting, you're never alone in the hospital, you're never alone at the kitchen table, you're never alone in your cubicle. The Holy Spirit is with you. And it's not just this idea that we're waiting for revival to take place so the Holy Spirit can show up. That's not what this is. That's something that somebody waits for, right? What I'm talking about is this is the idea of someone that we carry with us. That's the difference. It's not something that we're waiting on. It's someone that we carry. We carry the Holy Spirit with us. And so Romans 8:11, this is what it says. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you realize that? That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, where does it dwell? In you. Dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells, what? In you. The Spirit doesn't rent space. He takes up residence. I want you to think about that. So if the Spirit lives in you, you're never having a bad day alone. You're having it with God. I want you to get that. Do you think about that? I'm having a bad day. God, where are you at? He's right there. Why? Because the Spirit dwells in you. If you're a believer and you profess Jesus and you've surrendered your heart to Jesus, this is the reality of the believer, is that even on our bad days, we don't have them alone. God walks through that with us. We don't have to do it alone. So the Holy Spirit has moved in and he started an inside work on us, right? He's doing something on the inside that works its way out. The second thing I want you to know is this, is that the Spirit forms the character of Christ before he releases the power of Christ. I want you to get that. The Spirit works to form the character of Christ. We go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and then we see this conversation that Paul's in with the Galatian church about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Come on, somebody, put the donuts away. Pastor, why did you have them at the front door of the church? I don't know. We got to think about that, right? Self-control, we want you to walk through, okay? And so, self-control, against such things, there is no law. These are the things that the Spirit wants to work in our life. This fruit is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. If you come from churches like I come from, right, the Church of God denomination is a Pentecostal church. Anybody, you come from Pentecostal charismatic background, just raise your hand, right? There's just a few of us, okay, right? There's a lot more of us that don't come from that background, right? And so we talk a lot about gifts of the Spirit, right? We talk a lot about the operation of the Holy Spirit in our church. And I know what that looks like growing up in those kind of churches, right, where shouting and dancing. And people say, man, I don't remember that. Some people say, I don't, and that's not my tradition. That's okay, right? What we have to understand is this, is that there's a work that the Spirit wants to do even beyond gifts. That there's a work of fruit that has to be produced in us. There's a work that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit of love, joy, peace, right? If you go actually to the book of Corinthians where Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, and he begins to talk about these dynamic gifts, he says, listen, you can have all these giftings, but if you don't have love, it's just a noisy gong. It's just a clanging cymbal. That's all it is. And where's the love? What is he talking about? It's going back to the fruit, right? What does that do? That fruit is the formation of Christ's character in us. And so Luke chapter 4, verse 1, what do we see? It says, and Jesus, full of what? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Before Jesus performed a miracle, the Spirit led him where? Into the wilderness. And power came after that formation that he began to step into, the different miracles that we began to see happening. And so we see a formation of Christ's character has to take place in us. And so God's not impressed with our highlight reel of what we say, hey, I have this gift, or I can do this, or, you know, this is amazing, or we have this kind of church service. He's not impressed by that. What he does want from us is he wants to invest in forming the character of Jesus in us. That's what he wants to see. And from that, those gifts can be informed. That's what I want you to get. Then this next idea is that the fruit of the Spirit informs the gifts of the Spirit. Right? That's what he's talking about in Corinthians. When he says, hey, you can have all this, you can speak in the tongues of angels, but if you don't have love, you're just a noisy, clanging cymbal. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, that fruit should inform that gift. That's how we should operate as the body of Christ. That if we're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we should operate in those gifts in a way that says, hey, it is being informed by the fruit. It is being informed by love. It's being informed by joy. It's being informed by peace. It's being informed by patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All these things are what informs the gifts of the Spirit that we're gifted with so graciously by the Holy Spirit. And so maybe you're frustrated because you're waiting on God. God, I'm wanting you to use me, right? God, I want you to do something in my life. Well, I just want you to think about this. Maybe he's still forming you. Okay? Don't get impatient, right? Actually, patience is part of that fruit that God wants to form in us. And sometimes we get impatient. And like, come on, God, I want you to do this now. I want you to do this real quickly. And God's like, hey, we're in a formation process here. Well, you know, we're going to do something with your character because, you know, if you have the charismata, right? And we're talking about these gifts, the charismata. If you have the charismata without character, I think you get chaos. And so the character of God, the character of Jesus being formed in us is hugely important to who we're going to be as a Spirit-filled church if we're going to operate the way a Spirit-filled church should operate. And so the Spirit forms the character of Christ before he releases the power of Christ. Now, the third thing that we find here is this, is that the Spirit sends the church outward, not just upward, okay? The Spirit sends the church outward, not just upward, right? The Holy Spirit is not just to get us to heaven. The Holy Spirit is not here just to say, make us play nice with the neighbors, okay, right? It's not here just so that we can have maybe better days, okay? No, the Holy Spirit is forming us to have the character of Jesus so that he can send us, right? We've talked about that over a few months where we're ascending people. It's not just a seating. We talk a lot about seating capacity in churches. And you know what? I love the fact that at some point we're going to have a building back here that's going to have greater seating capacity. Why? Because we want more people to come to know Jesus and to be able to hear the gospel. But that's not where our power lies. Our power does not lie in our seating capacity. Our power lays in our sending capacity, right? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a people who are sent, not just seated. We're supposed to be a people who are on mission. And so the Spirit sends the church outward, not just upward. Well, how do I know that? What evidence do you have of that, Pastor Ryan? I'm glad you asked. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what we find. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, until the ends of the earth. And if you look at these places that he speaks about, if you look at Jerusalem, and then you look at Judea, and you look at Samaria, all these places, they're like concentric circles, right? If you looked on a map, it's like it works its way out. Right? It's ascending outward. That's exactly what this looks like. Exactly what it's speaking to. He says, you're going to be what? My witnesses in these places that are pushing out and even to the ends of the earth. And so every time the Spirit fills his people, and we need to be Spirit-filled people, he pushes them outward. This is one of those marks that I talked about last week. What are the marks of a Spirit-filled church? What should that look like? It shouldn't just look like, hey, gifts are in operation inside the church, four walls. Wow, that's amazing. That's great. Awesome. You had a great church service. Amazing. What else you got? Well, what else we better have is this. We better have that we're ascending, being pushed outward, that we are Spirit-filled people meant to push out into these places that God wants us to go, to the ends of the earth. Pentecost wasn't the conclusion of worship. It was the start of witness. That's what we find. It wasn't the conclusion of something that happened in Acts chapter 2. It was the start of this new witness. Hey, I want you to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so the Spirit-filled church isn't measured by how high somebody jumps, but how far we reach in love. That's how we're measured, is how great is our reach? How far does that go, right? Not how loud do you shout. It's how far is your reach of love. This is how we measure that. This is how we measure that sending of God, of God in, through his Holy Spirit in us into the world. So the wind of God moves us. Remember last week we talked about the wind. Every time that I said the word wind, what did you have to do? You held up your pinwheel and let the, you kind of blew through the pinwheel, right? Because it's the wind of God, the breath of God, the ruach of God from the Old Testament. The wind of God moves, and the people of God move toward the world that he loves, right? This is what we find. So every spirit-filled person becomes a spirit-sent person. Every spirit-filled person becomes a spirit-sent person. And if you don't feel like you've been sent, right, we better question, what have you been filled with? Maybe I'm filled with something else. Maybe I'm filled like a jelly donut with something else, right? It may not be the spirit, right? But because if I'm spirit-filled, I'm spirit-sent. If I'm spirit-filled, that looks a certain way, right? And my life should bear that out. And that's what I want for us. I want us to live out everything that God wants us to be. I want us to live out the biblicalness of what we see here in the book of Acts. I want us to live this out from the letters that Paul writes to the Ephesian church, right? To what we see in the Gospels. I want us to live all this out as New Life Church here in Richmond Hill. To be spirit-filled people who are also a spirit-sent people. So this is how I want to wrap this up this morning. We're getting ready to walk into baptism, right? We're getting ready to step into that. And I want us to pray. I want us to pray, and I want you to stand with me this morning. And we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And maybe you have a really good grasp on who the Holy Spirit is, what that looks like in your life. Man, I'm grateful for that. Hopefully, I've just reaffirmed that in your mind, right? But maybe you don't. Maybe this month, this has kind of been an introduction for you. And that's okay. I am so grateful that maybe some of the first time you're hearing this. Maybe you're saying, I've never heard any of this stuff before. And so I'm glad. I'm glad that we're talking about this, and maybe hopefully some light bulbs have gone off. And you're not more confused now than what you were when we started the series, right? This is my prayer for you, and this is how I'd like us to pray today. Is I'd like us to pray, Holy Spirit, fill my life. And let my life just exhibit the marks of what that should look like. Let my life exhibit the marks of not what it means just to be a gifted person, but what it means to be a fruited person, I guess, in a sense, right? That what it means to have fruit displayed in my life, and I'm seeing that we know that the character of Jesus is being formed in us. Some of you know that. You pray that. And you say, oh, Jesus, I didn't look very much like you today. Even on your bad day, the Holy Spirit's with you. Anybody had a bad day? Hopefully today's not that day. Hopefully today it's getting better. Hopefully today, because we're seeing, Holy Spirit, you're with me. You feel me. When I surrendered to Jesus, you began to do a work of renovation in my heart and in my life. And so the prayer is this, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do in me. Take me to that next step. Let the marks of a spirit-filled life be seen in me. What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that look like as a church body? That's what I want us to pray this morning. Can we do that? Lord, I thank you today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you brought us to this place, not to do something religious, but to do something that is transformative. You want to transform us from the inside out, and many of us are already on that path. Many of us have already made those steps. Many of us, Lord Jesus, we've already surrendered our life to you, and we're grateful for that. We're going to celebrate that here in just a little bit in baptism, but Lord, maybe some of us haven't. Today, some of us, we've been apprehensive, and we've been felt like we're stuck. I would pray today, Lord, that you would meet us right here, right now, in this moment, and you'd help us to see that you love us, you have good for us, and that you want us to understand that when we surrender to you, even on our bad day, the Spirit lives in us. The Spirit works through us. The Spirit is crafting and molding the character of Jesus in us. So, Lord, we welcome that right now. Lord Jesus, we surrender to who you are, and we welcome your Holy Spirit to do his work in our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you paid on the cross. You took our sins to the cross. Lord, you reconciled us back to the Father. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, we surrender to you now. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come do that forming work in us. Holy Spirit, come change us, shape us, convict us, comfort us, and conform us to your word. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the band's getting ready to lead you in some worship. This is what I want to do. I want to invite our baptism candidates to meet me out in the hallway. We'll get set up and get you guys. You guys can go ahead and be dismissed now to get changed. And we'll meet in the hallway right over here. And these guys are going to lead you in some worship. We'll be right back in just a second.
You've been listening to New Life Church in Richmond Hill, Georgia. For more information regarding New Life, please visit our website at newliferh.com.